humanity for a cause. George Lopez sharpening his image, championing his community.
What changed in your mind that changed your act a little bit?
The simple answer would be Donald Trump.
Spotlighting the power of the Latino vote in America. And standing up for the most vulnerable.
I think my vote matters for the people who are in the fields or cleaning the hotels.
Could energizing the largest non-white voting group help decide the presidential race? Plus, bearing the brunt of COVID-19.
What we're seeing really is historic decimation among the Hispanic community by this virus.
Latinos, some of the hardest hit.
I never knew I was gonna take my husband away.
How the human toll of the pandemic could impact the outcome of the election. Thanks for joining us. You know, we're exactly 1 week away from Election Day. Donald Trump and Joe Biden making their final campaign stops. And among those working to get out the vote, comedian and actor George Lopez. Tonight, ABC's Jim Avila on why Lopez is convinced the Latino vote could decide the presidential race.
First place I ever went on stage. First place I ever heard anybody say that if you worked hard, you could achieve anything you wanted to do.
George Lopez is back at his Los Angeles elementary school, where the auditorium he first performed in is named after him. A humble start for the man who would go on to lead his own ABC sitcom, also bearing his name.
Look, doctor, even if I did want to talk about it, and my mom was driving me crazy, I'm Chicano, we don't believe in therapy.
But now he's changing that father next door image. He's no longer the George Lopez you thought you knew. His slick back dark hair, today a pandemic white, and now bringing a harder, more political edge, performing stand-up specials on HBO and Netflix with titles like The Wall and We'll Do It for Half.
As long as George Lopez is alive, I promise you, I will never, ever let anyone disparage Latinos or Mexicans as long as I'm alive.
You strike an attitude when you're on
stage, yeah.
What changed in your mind that changed your act a little bit?
The simple answer would be Donald Trump. When you have a guy who announces his candidacy for president by calling Latinos rapists and criminals and drug dealers, and nobody's covering what we're going through. It's not gonna be Bill Maher, it's not gonna be anybody, I mean Chris Rock, it's not gonna be Chappelle. They're talking about their culture. If I don't talk about mine, there's nobody talking about, whether you like it or not. But I'm George Lopez, and I think I have to.
Do you think the conditions and the times that we're in are gonna motivate the Latino voter more than it has in the past?
Well, you know, Jim, if it doesn't, man, I'm not sure what will.
So Lopez is now working to get out the vote.
Joe Biden is fantastic. Joe Biden is a great dude.
Helping the Biden campaign and joining Latino organizations to reach some of the toughest voters to bring out. Latino males. Fewer than half of eligible Latino voters turned out in the last presidential election. 28% voted for President Trump. Some responding to this message on the economy.
We had the most successful economy we've ever had. We never had an economy. African American, Hispanic American, Asian American, women.
Latinos that are voting are listening at least to voting for Trump. Why is that?
You're gonna get Latinos that are going to be Trumpers because of their self-loathing of their own community and of not being reminded of where they come from. The minute you start to have a good life, you don't want to be reminded of that life.
In Florida, the Latino electorate is dominated by the Cuban refugee population, who listened to Donald Trump's unsubstantiated claims that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are socialists.
These people are crazy. It's now the party of socialists, Marxists, and left-wing extremists.
I'm voting for Donald Trump because I believe he's the best for America. I believe socialist and communist is the sin. For me, I'm from Cuba 42 years ago.
20% of the voting population in Florida is Latino. Marisa Franco's organization, called Mi Gente, or My People in English, is part of a campaign there called Fuera Trump, or Get Trump Out.
So here in Florida, you have people from all over, and that really contours how people view issues. You, as you can see, it's been really effective, this idea that the Democrats are socialists. That's been a really dividing issue here.
In Texas, another hugely important state, some voters agree their community is not monolithic.
I have friends that are Republican and they're Mexican, and we have the same conversation. They're voting for who they vote for, or they're Democratic, right? And they vote for who they vote for. So I think that's the other misconception. We don't all vote the same, and that's what's magical about it.
There are an estimated 32 million eligible Latino voters in the United States, and early voting numbers predict a record showing. Veronica Torres of Hey Chica focuses on Latinas.
We invite women to be a part of something that's bigger than just the vote.
Gracias.
It's about the sisterhood that's standing behind their position to stand up and have their voice be heard.
Hey Chica!
Talk to me a little bit about the priorities in the Latino community.
The Latino community is reflective of the priorities of the nation. COVID is at the very top of our priorities. COVID has been devastating for our community.
So this is Phoenix, right?
In fact, COVID and the Trump administration's handling of the pandemic have pushed Hector Sanchez's group, Mi Familia Vota, normally a nonpartisan Get Out the Vote organization, to cross the line and form a movement called Basta Trump, in English, Enough Trump.
We know that this nightmare has to end, and it's going to end if we come out in historical numbers. Right now, in the early voting, we have seen 3 million Latino voters already voting in comparison to 1.4 million Latinos in 2016 at the same time.
You know, they say that Rome wasn't built in a day. They say Rome wasn't built in a day. As a Chicano, I say, hey, they hired the wrong people.
Another focus in the Latino voting public, a work ethic that is a matter of pride, a pride that too often leads to poor medical care. Calling in sick is not in our culture, especially if you're working by the hour or the day.
No, especially when you can be replaced.
As Lopez jokes about in his comedy special on Netflix. Different.
We're not trying to live forever. We don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to know if we're sick. We know.
More than 25% of pandemic deaths are in the Hispanic community.
Why is it, do you think, that Hispanics are getting it more than the other people?
Well, I think they work in closer quarters than anybody. They work more, they're more condensed. They're there, and there's not a 6 feet distance. I don't think so.
There were toilet paper shortages at the supermarket, but the field workers never stopped, and strawberries, lettuce, and tomatoes kept coming to the grocery stores. Labor icon Dolores Huerta, who stood beside Cesar Chavez organizing farm workers unions, now is focused on getting out the Latino vote to protect the vulnerable.
People somehow think that farm workers are disposable. They're not really human, that you can just get rid of them. This is so wrong. When you think of all of the insults and the attacks on the Latino community, especially Mexicans, I'm a Mexican American. This is our way, our nonviolent way to get back at those that have attacked us and say, you know what, we're not gonna take it anymore. With my vote, this is my power.
My vote matters for the people who are in the fields or cleaning the hotels or getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going to work and working two jobs. We played baseball right here. If you hit it into the trees, it was a home run.
That was years ago. Most of Lopez's home runs come on stage today. He's nearly 60 and, like the rest of us, mostly confined to home. His foundation working to raise money for kidney transplants. He had his 15 years ago, urging Latinos to prioritize their health.
I just want people to take better care of themselves. That just don't take your health for granted, and don't take any day for granted, and don't take the science for granted.
And a determination during this life-changing election to stand up for his people, because as he says, he's George Lopez.
Thank you. I love my community. I love Latino people all over the world.
For Nightline, I'm Jim Avila in Los Angeles.
Our thanks to Jim. And coming up, politics during the pandemic, why COVID-19 is pushing more Latinos to the polls.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
It's one of the most consequential presidential elections in our lifetimes, happening during a global health crisis. The pandemic highlighting a disturbing truth in America. The Latino community, one of the most disproportionately affected groups of color. Here's ABC's Victor Oquendo on why they say they're fighting back by going to the polls.
The sounds of the mariachi are unmistakable. From the gold trumpets to the strumming guitarrón. But today, the music that so often marks life's joyful moments at weddings and quinceañeras is playing at this funeral mass.
We are here to say farewell to the loved ones who lost the battles against COVID-19.
We ask and decide to do it now in October because it's Fondo Dia de los Muertos.
The people here, a tight-knit community of Mexican immigrants from Chinantla, Puebla, honoring loved ones that never received a proper goodbye.
When they hear our notes and our songs, our lyrics, you know, we want them to feel that they're in Mexico, that they're there with their families, you know, connect them in some kind of way.
Eric Perez Cantor, Justo Calixto Andon.
Their photos, a reminder of lives cut short from a disease that has ravaged communities like this one. According to the CDC, Latinos are dying at a disproportionately high rate from COVID-19. A recent analysis of more than 114,000 COVID-related deaths between May and August found 24% were Hispanic or Latino, despite being only 18% of the U.S. population.
Paula Felipe Ramos.
Lucero Martinez Felipe has waited 6 months for this day. Her mother, Paula, died on April 16th, just 3 weeks after getting sick with COVID-19.
I miss her, and I needed to find certain peace in myself. And I think today I was able to actually feel peace for the first time since the day of her passing.
At the time, cases of the coronavirus growing exponentially in New York City, quickly becoming the epicenter of the global pandemic.
Health officials fearing another deadly wave on the way.
Here at NYU, COVID testing tents have been set up for students.
Illinois breaking its own record of new cases.
Fast forward to a week before the 2020 presidential election, a profound transformation to our way of life. Hospitals once again stretched to the limits to care for a new wave of COVID patients in places like Utah and Wisconsin. The U.S. surpassing a staggering 8 million cases. One of them, President Donald Trump.
Don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it.
That message after the president left Walter Reed Medical Center was a gut punch for Lucero.
He's privileged. Did every single person that lost their lives receive the same treatment that he did? They didn't. He had all these resources that none of us did.
At least 220,000 lives have been lost. The numbers growing every day. The COVID-19 outbreak becoming a top issue for Latino voters.
I think I always knew who I would not vote for, and it definitely won't be for the one that just stood there and watched it happen and didn't do much to help us.
Dr. Peter Hotez, one of the world's leading experts on vaccines, is growing more alarmed by the data.
What we're seeing really is historic decimation among the Hispanic community by this virus.
From the Rio Grande Valley to the big cities, a troubling pattern emerging throughout the nation.
given the fact that it's hitting Hispanics in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. What that really means is it's robbing families for this whole generation of their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters.
For brothers Isaiah and Nathan Garcia, it is their painful reality losing both parents to the virus in Houston this summer, just 2 weeks apart.
I didn't get to say goodbye to my mom or my dad, no. And that's what hurts me the most right now.
It's been really devastating, and not only in terms of the number of people who are dying, but also affecting a much younger age group.
Elizabeth Romero saw COVID-19 sweep through her Long Beach community.
I was like, we're strong, we're young, we're healthy. We could get through this. I never knew it was gonna take my husband away.
Elizabeth was on the phone with her husband, Jose, who was in the hospital bed when he suddenly went into cardiac arrest.
And the machine's just going off like crazy. 45 minutes I was on the phone. They tried 45 minutes to bring him back. And I'm like, no, not my husband, he cannot be gone.
Her life and the lives of so many others shattered by COVID-19.
Why are Latino communities getting hit so hard by this pandemic?
We are essential workers, much more likely to be essential workers. We have to be out there. In the pandemic, some of them had to take public transportation. There was no choice. Also, many of us live in more crowded housing, places of higher social density. All those things have been a major issue why Latinos are at higher risk.
Dr. Olvin Carrasquillo, a Puerto Rican native and chief of internal medicine at the University of Miami Health System, is determined to help his community. He's leading one of the clinical trials for the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine and is calling for more diverse participants.
We need more minorities, both Latino, African-American, to participate in these studies. We need to make sure these vaccines work on our people.
He says health disparities among Latinos are compounded by one's immigration status and lack of health care coverage.
They would say, no quería venir, pero no me quiero morir, which means I didn't want to come, but I didn't want to die. And you see these young persons with immigration issues that really didn't want to come. They worked down in the fields in Homestead. They came in really sick with extremely low oxygenation status. And you could tell, you saw the fear in their eyes.
Homestead, Florida, just 40 miles south of Miami's famous beaches and nightlife, where these farm workers toil in extreme heat harvesting food.
This is the invisible workforce that kind of uplifts the country, and yet the country is not uplifting them. And we have to kind of start changing our mentality and thinking, you know, the farm workers that feed us, maybe they need to come first. They have to be the first in line to get the resources and the help that they need.
The fear of bringing the virus home, all too common for Latino essential workers, many of whom live in multi-generational households.
La enfermedad no sabíamos cuánto nos iba a desarrollar, si íbamos a acabar en un hospital, si íbamos a fallecer, qué iba a ser de nuestros hijos.
And with the temperatures cooling, more families are expected to hunker down together indoors. The nation's top infectious disease specialist, Dr. Anthony Fauci, warning that the number of deaths could grow to 400,000 if precautions aren't taken this fall and winter.
You're saying it should look different this year.
Look, my brother bought a house, we're all planning this big lechon and all this stuff, and now we don't know. How do you have Noche Buena without a lot of people? If you ask me right now, that's what I would recommend. Small event, especially if I had older people in my family, which we all do. You know, there's no way I would want my mom to be in a social setting with 30 people. That's just not what I would want, as hard as it is for us.
For more on the ABC News Live special, America's Future, the power of the Latino vote, go to abcnews.com. And a reminder, Election Day next Tuesday. For information on how to cast your ballot, check out the How to Vote page on 538.com. That's Nightline. We'll see you right back here tomorrow at the same time. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.